What's going on, everyone? And welcome into another episode of Expected Bets 4. On today's episode, we'll be breaking down the slate for March 1st and 2nd. We only have a three-game slate for March 1st, so we'll dip into the bigger slate on Saturday as well. Before we get into kind of news and notes around the NHL, let's bring in the rest of the crew. Betsky, how we doing?
Oh, it's beautiful out here. I hate to say it. It's like 75. Yep. Breezy.
I think we're 45 here in Boston. Little bit of cloud. So. Yeah. That sounds a whole lot better than where I am right now.
I'll let you know when it's 100 in May.
That's true. Franco, how are we doing out there in Philly?
It's actually been warming up here too, man. So I'm not that jealous. I think we're starting to get out of this winter, and it'll be good. But otherwise, I'm doing good. Ready to break this down, man. This should be fun getting into Saturday a little bit because this Friday slate kind of looks like meh. So be good.
I think that's putting it politely of calling the Friday slate meh. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Before we get into the games, though, let's break down some news and notes around the NHL. So first one up, kind of our first trade, big trade, I guess, approaching the deadline here. Tanev heads to the Stars. Calgary or Dallas bolsters their D, which, I mean, we talked about what just last episode of the amount of minutes Heiskanen was playing. It felt like it was 25, 27 a night in that, in the playoffs last year, especially. Calgary gets another D prospect and a second/third round if the Stars don't make the cup. But I'll throw it to you here, Franco. Any thoughts on kind of this Tanev trade?
I mean, I think it's just kind of okay, right? He's an older defenseman, more defensive-minded, shot-blocking type of guy. So, I mean, they need a guy like that, so I get it. I don't feel like it was too bad of an overpay as far as the price. You know, we were joking about all the first-rounders being worth nothing these days. So, I know there are a lot of rumors flying around like they would get a first for him and stuff, so... I think Calgary did pretty well, though, getting a second. And I think it's like a conditional third and stuff like that. But
and the prospect they're getting was a second round pick, too. So if you want to go for technicality here, it's like getting 2 seconds.
He's also like a New Jersey Devils goalie. So like we've seen how well that works out in the NHL. I don't know. It doesn't really like move the needle either way for me, to be honest. Like I think it's an okay ad for Dallas. I wouldn't be that excited if I was a Dallas fan. Let's put it that way. And I'd be pretty happy with what I got if I'm a Calgary fan. I think, you know, you're getting rid of a guy that's 34 that you weren't going to resign. I mean, these are the type of guys that's hard to get anything for. Like, you know, you see closer to the deadline as it approaches, you keep hearing the rumors and get excited like, oh, we're going to get a first for this guy. This is going to be great. And then all of a sudden you get like a third or fourth and disappointed. So I think a second's pretty damn good. And anything else on top of that's pretty damn good as well. So not bad for them.
Yeah, I would agree. Besky, you have anything to add to that?
I actually really like it for Dallas. I think last year in the playoffs, we were kind of talking about how Hakanpää was just over his head playing on the second pair. With Harley kind of becoming a nice transition D, definitely giving them more offensive upside. And Heiskanen still being Heiskanen, I think this is a really nice piece to add to that mix. And it's just going to make them a little bit tougher and a little bit meaner. And I mean, he's like the playoff type of defenseman you want, and arguably maybe the best one that would be available if kind of that's old school, like stay at home guy. I mean, they are already starting to look scary, and I think this just adds to it.
Yeah, you're going to have to look at those Tanev block shots, especially in the postseason. Yes. I mean, that's going to be, that's going to be kind of my favorite angle. See how he does kind of towards the later part of the season. But besides that, Nichushkin cleared to practice, which I think Colorado is also hoping to get Landeskog back for the playoffs. He's skating as well. So this team could, again, be another dangerous, dangerous team heading into the postseason. But they've kind of been so-so as of late. So I think getting those two guys back would be a huge, huge part of their offense, which they kind of need. Desperately. Any thoughts on kind of Colorado as they move forward heading into the postseason?
scary if those two can perform the way they've performed in the past. I wonder how Landeskog's going to be. He's been out for like pretty much two full seasons.
Yeah.
And then you got to just hope that Nichushkin keeps his cool this time around. But if he does, holy cow. I mean, that goes from like a forward group that was essentially a two-man wrecking crew to back to having a competent top six. Johansson's been looking a little bit better. He kind of started slumping again, but Colton will probably be able to actually play where he should be playing. And Lekkonen's fine on the first line if you have Nichushkin on the second, but it's when he's kind of having to carry the, or not carry, when he has to play the first line minutes, it seems like he gets a little over his head without kind of that secondary support. So yeah, they're going to be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a dangerous, dangerous team if those two return to the lineup. Franco, do you have anything to add there?
Yeah, it's almost like trade deadline acquisitions for both of those guys coming back. You know? You go from that top six they have right now, it doesn't look as good as it typically does. And I mean, Landeskog, like you said, has been gone for 2 years. So it's like even better than what we saw last year if they get him back and he can be. I really wonder what he's going to be like.
Yeah,
I hope he is Gabe. Like if he's Gabe, then like, oh man, that top six is nasty. Like, really nasty. So I like it.
Yeah. Other news too, Josh Norris is going to be out for an extended period of time with an upper body injury, but I mean, Ottawa's whole season has just kind of been an absolute dumpster fire. So they're not making the postseason as well. And in other news too, Frederik Andersen, close to returning, bolstering that Carolina defensive core. So we've seen in the past few years in the playoffs when they've tried to run three with Kachetov. Now he's back. Martin's still there. Martin's been playing pretty decent as of late too. And now Andersen back in the lineup. Carolina, I feel like every year I'm high on them entering the playoffs and they just continuously find a way just to falter somewhere down the stretch, whether it's the Eastern Conference or divisional round. So any thoughts on Carolina kind of moving forward here?
Let Kachetkov run with it, man. Screw Freddie. Screw it. Like, forget it, man. Like, as a backup, fine.
Sure.
But I would be mad if I was a Carolina fan and Freddie comes back and it's just his crease again. Like, no. I'm sorry. We've seen it enough at this point, what he brings in the playoffs. And he gets injured at the worst times every time, too. So just let the kid go, man. He looks the part and this team's good enough in front of them. They should. It's time.
Yep, I agree. Get somebody who's a little bit hungrier. The thing that I feel like they miss, I don't think they have any player that really has that like magic with their game. Maybe Shevnikov, but maybe you get a hot young goalie that kind of brings it and kind of has that spark in the playoffs. And that's why I always feel like they kind of fall flat. It's a really good team up and down the lineup. Good depth pieces all over the place. Obviously one of the toughest teams to play against, but when push comes to shove, if they're not able to control the game, I don't know how. I feel like they're not a team that's able to get back into it easily.
Yeah.
Especially in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I think you try to run the kid and see if he can keep you up in every single game. Cause then you probably got a good shot.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them in the postseason thrive in those 2-1, 3-1 games too. Yeah. That's their bread and butter is those low scoring games where they just grind out opponents. So, yeah, that should be another interesting team to watch here. And then last thing I wanted to mention too was Patrick Kane's return to Chicago. Just an incredible night. It felt like the passing of generations with Chelios getting his retirement.
Yeah,
Kane kind of coming back, and then Bedard's kind of first game almost. Basically with Kane, and like it felt like all eyes were on that one random game between Detroit and Chicago, which I thought it was incredible, and it was only fitting Kane scores the overtime winner. So just probably one of the highlights of the week for sure.
Yeah, and it was like a flashy goal. It wasn't even just
that was nice. Yeah. If there's one guy you want to see in that situation as a Detroit player, any of his teammates, it's that guy, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it comes out to Kane on a breakaway. Perfect. That was nasty, though. Nasty finish. Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it. We'll get into the games for tomorrow. We'll get to the games in a second, but first I want to talk to you about AG1. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the past 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in the water once a day, every day, and it makes you feel energized, focused, and ready to take on the day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals. I like to drink AG1 first thing in the morning, which is recommended for optimal nutrition absorption. I fill up my shaker with extra cold water, add one scoop of AG1, shake it up, and I'm ready to go. If I'm running short on time and can't mix my AG1 before heading out, I'll grab a travel pack. It's an individual serving of AG1. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/expectedbets. That's drinkag1. First game up we have here, we'll talk about for Friday, is going to be New Jersey and Anaheim. New Jersey -230 on the money line, Anaheim +188, over under 6.5 here. New Jersey's 5-5 in their last 10, Anaheim 4-6 in the last 10. Enter this game on a 3-game losing streak here. Should be New Jersey props galore here. I mean, especially what we saw, Jack Hughes put up, what, 18 attempts in his last game?
Yeah.
So you really wonder what that line's going to be set at. I'll start with you here, Betsky. Any looks in New Jersey, Anaheim?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you kind of have to roll those Jack Hughes shots again. He missed missed against Montreal, but I mean, I think he still put up three. So he's been phenomenal, and I like it. I'm sure there's Jersey fans who don't love that he's playing wing, but it's for a betting standpoint, it's sure giving him a lot more open ice and more privilege to shoot, if you will, since he's not having to worry about that two-way spot as much. A guy on the other side that I've been really impressed with lately again is Mason McTavish, though. And if you want to get some nice value on shots, he's -105 when tonight playing San Jose, you know, one of the leakiest teams in the league. And Jersey's not exactly a top defensive team against shots right now. So if he keeps rolling, even if he kind of has an off night tonight, I'm fine with bouncing back in a more competitive game against Jersey. So I've been pretty impressed with him. His last three games, he's had 7, 10, and 6 shot attempts.
Wow.
Yeah. I do believe Terry's out. So I think this is probably helping his volume actually. He's kind of like the big name right now as far as the younger forwards go for the Ducks. So it's kind of his time to shine a little bit. And yeah, he's been productive and you get nice value on him.
Yeah, I would agree there. Do you have any other plays in this one, or are you kind of just looking at McTavish as kind of your guy?
I hate that it's kind of a coin toss between Brat, Toffoli, and I mean, Timo's just not productive anymore. So yeah, really,
He's been better.
Yeah, but he's like always a parlay piece because he's -160 or so. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'll look towards those, but for you know that sneakier thing, give me that Mason McTavish shots tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that. Franco, any looks for you here?
Yeah, it's a damn shame that Meyer isn't what he was because he has a ton of history versus this team being a shark, former shark.
Yeah,
like averaging over 5 shots a game. 18 points in 14 games played, including 10 of those being goals. But like, I can't bet that guy. I mean, he couldn't even do it against San Jose the other night.
You know what he did have though? He had 2 points and it was +400.
I know.
Against San Jose.
That's crazy.
So that if he's still on the top line, that may be a way to pivot.
Yeah, that might not be because it's not him doing it. It's everybody else. he's just there, you know? I mean, to be fair, he did have a goal called back. So, I mean, maybe he's feeling a little bit. He has been kind of productive. He does have 4 points total in his last 3 games. So I don't want to bash him too hard. But what happened to him as a shooter? He was a 3.5 guy. Yeah. And
I get it because he's on the line with Hughes. Last year when they acquired him, and you're like, well, this isn't going to work as far as
he's literally on a line with two passing play. Like I think of Heischer and Bratt as like two setup guys. Like I don't think of them as shooters.
No,
and I'm watching that game, after the first period, Bratt has three shots. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I mean, it's crazy, but sorry to, whatever. I have no interest in him pretty much. I mean, maybe I'll do something, but whatever. Toffoli assist looks really good. He has 8 and 9 games against them. He's been pretty productive, 2 assists in his last 3. Typically, you can't get his point prop bettable sometimes, but I would assume it's going to be like minus 160, minus 170 in this matchup. So I'll probably pivot to that for him. And then on the Anaheim side, I'm looking at Adam Henrique, actually. So kind of picking up recently, 2 assists his last 3 games. His history against Jersey being, former Devil, obviously, 4 goals, 1 assist in 5 games, averaging almost 2.5 shots a game against them too. So kind of like that. I might just go for his goal and just say screw it, But and we were talking about before the show, I mean, Anaheim has been, I posted earlier, has been bleeding shot goals to defensemen. So we're not getting an ideal matchup tonight against San Jose defensemen because they all suck. And these Jersey ones aren't really goal scorers either. So it's
too bad Hamilton's not there.
Yeah. I mean, if Dougie was playing, I would absolutely be betting his goal 100% in this game. It's a damn shame we don't have him in this matchup. So I will probably be looking at Luke Hughes or Nemec, and probably sprinkle both of them or something like that and see if I get lucky here. But it's pretty astounding how many defensemen have been scoring against this Anaheim team. So, yeah, you got to take that value.
Yeah, I like the Henrique play as well. He's in terms of points, he's hitting 6 of his last 7 at home as well, which just adds to that. And then another guy, too, I think most people are going to probably look to on the Anaheim side. It's going to be Vetrano. He's hitting 6 of his last 10, 7 of his last 10 at home, and then 3 of 5 versus New Jersey. So he's another guy there.
Yeah.
And New Jersey is weird, too, with shots. You're looking back at kind of their last few games, they gave up 31 to San Jose, which, I mean, is just incredible in its own. I don't know when the last time San Jose really
I don't think anybody's given up 31.
No. But then you go back and they gave up 26 to Tampa Bay and only 18 to the Rangers. So it's like you don't really, this team's not predictable in any sense of the word in terms of what type of performance you're going to get. So even Vetrano point to 7 of his last 10 at home, 3 of his last 5 versus New Jersey. So I don't know. This team's very sporadic, and they already lost to Anaheim this year, which is crazy. They lost 5-1 earlier. Yeah. So
that was really early in the season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. December. Anaheim kind of looked hot at first, and then they've had so many injuries. And
this Jersey team doesn't feel very trustworthy, though. Like,
no, not at all.
I wouldn't want to be backing Jersey puck line or anything like that in this game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree.
No. If this was a Jersey team last year at this point of the season, you're hammering every single prop on the board pretty much for them. But this year, it's a little bit different, I guess. All right. With that being said, the next game up here, we have Florida at Detroit. Florida 8-2 in their last 10, tied with Boston for the lead in the Atlantic Division here. Detroit's also on a hot streak here, 7-3 in their last 10, leading that wild card race in the East. Bunch of few good spots here, I think, for each side. So I'll start with you here, Franco. Any looks in this one?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that pops out is Tkachuk. His assist prop has been cashing like crazy, I feel like. I hate his line. his line mates, should I say. I mean, put anyone else but freaking Cousins on his wing and the production is going to go up. I'd rather see Rodriguez on the wing than
him. Yeah.
Like, are they trying to showcase him and trade him or something? Like, it's just.
I actually thought it was because they were playing Ottawa. It was the first time they made that line. And I thought they just wanted to have Cousins there in case things got chippy with him and Brady. But they've kept it now.
It's been that way for like three. It's been like that for 3 or 4 games now. And it's just like he keeps hitting. So you're like, oh, it looks good. And you look, but it's. It's infuriating seeing him like set up Cousins for like a perfect tap in and this guy can't finish. And you're like, so it's hard, it's hard to feel confident about betting it, especially, you're likely laying juice every time, minus 130 or so. I think tonight's minus 140, but again, good history against Detroit. I feel like Detroit hasn't been great defensively at all by any standard. They feel like an over team right now, whereas Florida feels like more of an under team. So I'd probably lean the Florida side on this. If I was backing a side, I don't know what the price is going to be. You know, this is a game on Saturday, so we don't have anything yet. Despite Detroit being pretty damn good recently, I mean, we kind of talked about it a couple of weeks ago, how surprising it's been their run. But yeah, I'd probably back Florida. And then on the Detroit side, I mean, I think you have to keep betting this Kane assist prop seems to be cashing every game as well. That's where the value is going to be. Yeah. I know he's been scoring as well, but I mean, his line mates have been scoring. DeBrincat's been awesome. I mean, in reality, I mean, all these guys have been really good. A lot of these guys, even the second, third line guys are scoring and stuff. So, you know, Fabry and Raymond and stuff. So
Raymond's been awesome.
Yeah.
Look at their fourth line too with Sprong.
Yep. You know, I love Sprong. He's one of my favorites. So. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good from top to bottom. So, I mean, I feel like this is one of those things where it's like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, right? Where Florida's just not giving up goals. They're getting great goaltending from both goalies too. It's not just one. And they're just like, they're not letting up shots. I never thought we'd see a Florida team look like this defensively, where they're, you know, giving up 22, 23 shots a game and still firing 30, 35 shots a game. So yeah, I'm interested to see how this one goes. Cause I mean, I guess Detroit at home, it could kind of control some of the pace, but it should be a fun game regardless.
Yeah. And you mentioned Kane too. I mean, he's been much better at home in terms of the shots on goal this year at 2.5. I think he's 7 of his last 10 at home, and on the road that dropped significantly. We already mentioned DeBrincat and Sprong on kind of the Detroit side. And even though Sprong's on that fourth line, you look at the splits of the last three games, it's pretty close to even. Like, they're rolling all four lines here. So it's not like he's had a significantly less amount of time on the ice versus their first line up there. So I'd like that look as well. But Betsky, any looks for you here?
Yeah, I'm going to go on the Florida side for some shots because Detroit's been fairly leaky up and down all season. It seems like they're tightening it up a little bit in their last 10, but it's Florida who are like the top shooting team. And the two positions that they're the worst against are centers and defensemen. So give me Barkov on the road. He's finally kind of cranking again. His shot attempts are up. Much more trustworthy on the road than he is at home.
Three in his last five versus Detroit.
Do you have it pulled up?
Yep. Yep.
What is it?
He's hitting three of his last five versus Detroit. Yep.
Yep. And then I got my eye on Montour too. His volume is really good for shot attempts. I know he's a little bit better at home, but he's been really kind of stepping up again. And Detroit again, that was the eighth most shots on goal to defensemen. So those are kind of the ones I will probably have my eye. They're probably both going to be more in that parlay area rather than a straight maybe Barkov, especially if he misses tonight. But he's playing Montreal, so probably not.
Yeah, the other guy, too, up there is Bennett, who's hitting four of his last five. He's probably be another guy to look at.
I just can't trust him, though.
He's one of those players that every time you write down your card and his name's on there, it's always a little double like, check before. Yeah, you're like, yeah, do I really want to do this? All right. Any other looks in Florida, Detroit here? I mean, I think we're kind of on the same page too. Looking at Florida's numbers in terms of shots for, they've just been insane. Pretty much upper 30s, 40s in their past few, which is great. And oddly enough too, I mean, they're holding their opponents to around 30 shots a goal per game. So it does open up the Detroit side of things for maybe Kane or kind of looking at a few other guys down that depth chart as well. All right, next game up here, we have Edmonton traveling to Seattle. Edmonton 5-5 in their last 10 on a 2-game win streak heading into this matchup. Seattle 4-2 in their last 6. Much better as of late, got some quality wins against Boston, who they beat twice, and Vancouver as well. 7 points behind Nashville for that wild card spot, so they are desperately trying to get back into the postseason here. I'll start with you here, Betsky. Any looks in this one? I think there's a pretty obvious one here.
Yeah, the over, right?
I like the over, but I was saying player prop wise. Former player. Eberle.
Oh, Eberle. Duh.
Yeah.
Oh, does he have a good history playing against Edmonton?
So in terms of points, so I had his points circled. So he's hitting 4 of his last 5, 7 of his last 10 at home, and then each of his last 3 games versus Edmonton.
8 of his last...
3 of his last 3 versus Edmonton. So he's hitting each of his last 3 versus Edmonton.
Cool.
So,
that's a great little look. I was going to talk about the over.
The over as well. In the last
10 games they've played, there's only 2 times that there haven't been at least 7 goals. and the 2 times that missed are 6 and 5. I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's now, I mean, that's insane.
It's really weird. You wouldn't think that Seattle would be able to kind of keep up, but I wonder if these games just get out of hand quite early and Edmonton kind of lets go. Edmonton has won 8 of those last 10 as well.
3-0 really season like against them.
Yep. That Eberle look is great. Another one, Vince Dunn in Seattle, man. He's 81% has hit on his point prop at home. His assist is more like 65%, but he just had a goal in 3 straight games. So I feel like at some point he's going to be back to kind of be more of the playmaker than the goal scorer for them. So those are all pieces I'd look at. Edmonton's tough on the road to figure out. So I'm excited to see if you guys got some pieces here that you like on the Edmonton side.
Yeah. I have that done circled of 9 of his last 10 at home. That was one of my favorite looks, but yeah, you're right. I mean, we saw the progression of McDavid when he kind of started this little point streak of, maybe a week ago, a week and a half ago, you could get him at over 1.5, around -110. And now his over 1.5 points is like -140, like -150. Yeah. It's insane. So that's all I had here. Franco, any looks for you in this one?
Yeah, I got a bunch. This is one of my favorite matchups. I just love this. Like, if they can play in the playoffs every year, that'd be great. I just feel like it's always a fun matchup between these two teams, right? Like, it's just high action, high activity, lots of shots. Just, I love it. So, the first one that I always is like an auto bet for me is Adam Larsson block shots. So, we know Edmonton shoots a ton. That's a given. And he's a former Oiler. And for whatever reason, he loves blocking shots against his former team. I know it's like the most bizarre way to get revenge, but he freaking loves it. And typically this year, like historically, he'd been like a 2.5 guy around even to like -130. But this year, he hasn't been blocking as much. So I'm pretty sure every time I bet it in this matchup, he's been 1.5 at like a juiced number, like a -180, -160 type of thing. So I'll usually parlay that with something at the 1.5. And then I'll also do a ladder up at the 2.5 number. That's going to be a nice plus money. And he's 2-1 to that number in those 3 games this year. So that's the first one. I auto bet for that one. But otherwise I like McCann shot on the Seattle side. He scored in 2 of 3 games this year. I believe he's hit his shots in 2 of 3 as well against them. I think he had 4 the last game as well. So he loves firing against them. He's the guy's red hot. If his point's bettable as well, like if it's -130 again, that's another one, like auto bet that. Again, like you said, Besky, we're seeing goals in this series. So even though it's most likely going to be on the Edmonton side, you're going to get value in Seattle. I mean, you might even get that done point at a bettable number. We'll see.
Yep.
And then Hyman, I don't know why you wouldn't keep going back to him scoring. I believe he had 2 the last game against them, and he's still a decent plus money number. You're playing on a line with McDavid and Dreisaitl, and you're red hot. It's not a lot of thought to go into it.
No, you know, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's very straightforward. So, and like, honestly, what I've been doing on, 365 is you can do single points for a guy like McDavid. So, now it's not bettable. I was doing McDavid and Hyman, points, But if you can do McDavid assist and Hyman point as a parlay, I think DK will even let you do that. That would be an absolute smash spot for me in this game. Like, there's no way McDavid's not going to get an assist. He's just been dishing them out like candy, and a Hyman point just feels pretty much free if he doesn't manage to score one. One of the other two guys will be involved, so I like that a lot as well.
Yeah, you mentioned McCann too for points. 7 of his last 8, he's hit at home. 8 of his last 10 overall, and then his shots on goal, he's hitting 3 of his last 4 at home as well. Another name too, Yanni Gourde, has been pretty good at that 1.5 line as well. 4 of his last 5, and then 8 of his last home. So that's kind of all I have here. I do like that Larson block shots look a lot, though. I think that's a great look. So
it's bizarre. Like, if you look at all of his games, like the last 3 years, he's like probably an 80% hit rate against them. It doesn't at the 2.5 number. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. Next game up here, we have Minnesota at St. Louis here. Minnesota 7-3 in their last 10. St. Louis on a 3-game losing streak, 1-5 in their last 6 here. Both trying to vie for that wild card spot in this one. A few good looks on either side. Some great history as these teams do play a lot against each other. So I'm curious to see any looks you guys have here. Betsky, I'll start with you in this one.
I mean, I've been loving the top line for Minnesota right now. It's points, shots, everything. Kaprizov finally looks like he's back. I'll need to take a look at his history, but I know St. Louis gives a ton of shots to wingers. So I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed almost that he misses tonight against Nashville, even though I'm on him. But if he does, it's probably going to make me like it even more against St. Louis. If he does hit tonight, maybe he's streaking. So I don't know. It's win-win, I guess.
Yeah. You could spin it either way.
Yeah. On the other side, I mean, Rob Thomas, we've talked about it however many times, but he's an assist machine. And again, I'm going to suspect that he has great history against Minnesota because they've played each other a ton. And I will probably be writing kind of in some capacity Kaprizov shots and Rob Thomas assists, whether they're parlay pieces or just straights, because both may be bettable.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of that St. Louis tied to Krug and Kyrou have also been pretty decent of late. But yeah, Rob Thomas, I think, is the guy to look at, especially for props on that side of things. But Franco, any looks for you in this one?
Always love the Rob Thomas look. So I'll be on that as well. To add to that, Buchnevich has 6 goals in 8 games versus them. So that just adds fuel to that fire a little bit. So, I mean, that top line for them has been fantastic recently. All 3 of them. So
yeah,
if you can same game parlay them for a point, that type of stuff, I don't mind doing that. I don't mind looking at the Buchnevich assist, and yeah, I think you can just kind of stop there. Decent value towards like the Shen line as well. He has 13 points and 15 against them, so I don't mind that as a pivot if you're thinking maybe that other line gets going. But yeah, I'll probably stay on that top line. And same thing, like you said, for Minnesota, I feel like that top line's been awesome. So I'm just gonna see what kind of value I can get. Depending on what the lines look like. And I like all 3 of those guys, though. I mean, Boldy's been awesome. Eriksson Ek's been awesome. And Kaprizov, like you said, is back. I mean, it's an exciting line to watch. I feel like when Hartman was on that line, it's like, I feel like Eriksson Ek brings a little bit something different there, and it's working right now.
I do, too. Yeah, and it's kind of fun that they're not having to – it's fun to see Minnesota finally stack that line instead of having to kind of split up their centers. And Rossi's been – decent enough to kind of spread out the skill, so seems like they have a lot more flexibility. Another one I wanted to highlight too is anybody on the top unit's power play point for Minnesota. So right now, Minnesota, let me see, I just had it, over the last 10 games are number 6 for their power play, hitting around 27.9%. They are drawing the most power play opportunities against their opponents. And then St. Louis at home is a little bit more undisciplined. They are taking the 10th most power plays. So You may get a lot of opportunities here. Seattle or St. Louis does have a good penalty kill. But when you have a top unit like that and they can stack that top unit, I don't know, that may be able to get some extra value, especially on a guy like Zuccarello or Kaprizov, obviously.
Yeah, the one guy that two players actually stood out for me in this one. Yeah, Eriksson Ek. So his point, he's hitting 4 of his last 5 and then 8 of his last 10 overall. He's hitting 3 of his last 4 games against St. Louis, and he's hitting 9 of his last 10 games on the road as well. And then the other guy is Zuccarello, point as well, 4 of his last 5 overall, 7 of his last 10 on the road, and then has some great history against St. Louis as well, hitting in 3 of his last 4. So those are kind of the guys that stood out. Hartman, again, point has been decent as overall, but 5 and 10 on the road. So that's so-so. And then Eriksson Ek, shots on goal, 6 of his last 10 on the road. So those are the looks I have in that one. I think it's going to be a lot of props. Again, kind of a great matchup for this. So any other looks in this one? No? Alrighty, next game up here, we have Colorado at Nashville. Colorado 4-6 in their last 10. Nashville heads into this game on a 6-game winning streak here. Oddly enough, I have more props on the Nashville side in this game. You wouldn't expect it.
There's only 3 people to choose from on Colorado.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll start with you here, Franco, in this one. What are you looking at?
I think you start with O'Reilly, 14 points in 11 games against them, averaging a decent amount of shots, I guess, and hasn't been as productive as he was, I guess, at the beginning of the season. Nyquist has kind of picked it back up. Forsberg has kind of picked it back up, but he's seems to be not quite there. But I still like it. I think the value is going to be there. Josi has just been a machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that, like, even tonight his point prop was -150, and I get, like, that's typically around the cutoff for most people for the juice they want to lay, but there's no world, especially with how he's playing right now, that line should be there. And I hate laying 150. I'm probably not going to bet that. I'll probably bet as assist, but, like, if you value that number, hit it. Like, I think it's pretty damn safe, and it's just I don't get it. He should be like -190, -200 at this point with how good he's been, and that's how, like, that's the type of player he's been historically, and kind of started out the season cold, and then we saw that number drop, and there was no reliability to his game, and now he's sitting at 57 points and, you know, 60 games played. So it's crazy how smoking hot he's been. So I still don't love Colorado's goaltending. I think that's what it really comes down to. I get they're going to play Anunin tonight, so we're going to get Georgiev, but I don't love Georgiev either. So I kind of agree on the road. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to back Nashville on the money line or anything like that, because Colorado can just outscore you, but I think you're going to have a ton of value on Nashville props, player point props and stuff like that, whereas you know how what you're going to get with Colorado props. You know, McKinnon's going to be 1.5 -130. McCarr is going to be, you know, -200 for a point, whatever. So there's not going to be much value there unless you're going to back Lekkonen or something like that. So I tend to agree with you, what you said, kind of to lead off, Gator, where I'm more looking on this Nashville side. And this is something you never would have thought you'd be saying at this point in the season. That's for damn sure. So,
Yeah, the other guy, too, on Nashville's side that I'd circled, too, was Novak point here. He's hit 9 of his last 10 and then 5 of his last 5 on the road as well. So he's kind of been popping as well. And then Nyquist, again, 8 of his last 10, 7 of his last 10 at home. So those are the 2 points. Obviously, shots, Cody Glass, 1.5, a little bit juice, but he's been great as of late. Evangelista has been solid as well. And then even Forsberg too has started to kind of pick up the pace, as we saw in his last 2 games, especially with those attempts being back around 10, 12 and kind of that range too. That's my favorite Forsberg, is once you start to kind of see him heat up and he gets those attempt numbers back in a double digit range when his line's at 3.5. So those are kind of looks I have here. Betsky, any looks for you here in this one?
Yeah, I really love the Ryan O'Reilly one. I mean, that was kind of my go-to there. But if I remember correctly, doesn't McKinnon destroy Nashville?
I was just going to, I didn't want to cut Gator off while he's talking, but I remembered it as we're talking. Yeah, he averages almost 7 shots a game versus them. So.
Yeah, and he's already shooting a ton. So.
Yeah, I'm on up. Yeah,
it's perfect. Yeah, so that's definitely a ladder opportunity there. He has 13 goals and 22 assists in 32 games against Nashville as well. So multi-point game maybe in the books as well. But yeah, definitely the shots right now. He's been an absolute monster. It's like he's been saving all those shots from earlier in the season till just now. So
what is it with Nashville? I mean, even Draisaitl has some history against them. It's such a weird, like, they just love just.
If the McKinnon one, I don't get the Draisaitl one. He must have, like, been in love with some fan in Nashville or something.
Yeah.
He got his heart broken.
He doesn't like country.
Yeah. But McKinnon draft year, Seth Jones. Well, no, wait, because Seth Jones got drafted by Columbus. So that throws that out. I was going to say, Seth Jones was kind of the top prospect for a long time in that draft year. And then McKinnon had kind of a surge near the end of that draft year and ended up going number one overall to Colorado. But maybe it was like kind of that head to head against that guy who was on Nashville, but I forgot that. Yeah. Wait, no. Seth Jones was on Nashville and traded to Columbus?
Yes.
Or vice versa?
I actually just found that out today. I don't know why I didn't know that, but I was looking at his game log and I was like, damn, I didn't remember him being drafted by them. It's kind of crazy.
No.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so then he was moved to Columbus for Johansson. So maybe there is some weird thing of, and granted, I mean, Nashville didn't even take Jones over McKinnon. So it's not like it.
Maybe he really wanted to go to Nashville.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe he's pissed off about it.
But then he wouldn't have gone Titans first fan. Overall.
Yeah.
We'll never know. But yeah, that's kind of where my mind went first of all.
Yeah. Another look too. I was just looking at my sheet here. Oddly enough, Cale Makar over 1.5 block shots has been hitting like crazy as of late. So he's hitting 8 of his last 10 overall. And then 8 of his last 10 on the road here as well. I'm not sure his history versus Nashville, but Colorado's given up 30 plus shots on goal in their last, in 4 of the last 5 here. So they're letting teams shoot. So again, if we're leaning more towards Nashville, kind of coming out with a strong effort here, I don't hate that Makar look in terms of block shots as well. All right, last game up here on the slate, we have Vegas traveling to Buffalo here, the Jack Eichel sweepstakes here. Another exciting matchup between these two teams here. I'll start with you here, Betsky, in this one.
Well, do we know if Eichel will be in? He's not, right?
I don't think so.
Dang, I was literally waiting all season to do Eichel for this again.
Yeah.
And I felt like such an idiot last year not doing the Eichel Hattie, and he sure enough got one.
Yeah. It says early March for him return. So is the second early March?
I thought I saw something like that he was traveling with them, right? Or did I just read that? Okay.
Well, if he's in, I'll hammer all of it.
Everything. Yeah, it doesn't
matter. But otherwise, Skinner's been heating up again with his shots, at least. Like, something seemed off when he first came back from injury. And he's been way more productive at home. I know he's like in the 60% now, but at one point was hitting around 70% as 2.5. Then kind of had this really rough spell recently. So he may be somebody to go right back to. Also, Tage has been crazy. I think he's been averaging about 8.7 shot attempts a game. I think he's hit 6 straight. Once he gets rolling, it's hard to stop him. And Vegas has been a little bit leakier on the shot side of things. I think they're giving up the 10th most shots on goal or shots allowed. The only thing that worries me is Buffalo kind of traveling right now, and they're going to be back at home. So I don't know, but they seem to be rallying right now kind of around a nice late season surge and trying to maybe prove to the fans that this is the real them, or
yeah.
So I don't know. I'll go with the chalky pieces here in Tage and potentially Skinner. I also don't remember if Tuck has, I mean, this would only be Tuck's second game against Vegas, or this would be his third game. And I don't remember.
I know he scored in his first game against them. Mm-hmm. Him and
Krebs
both scored. Yep, yeah. Both scored in their first game against them. But yeah. Thompson too. I mean, earlier this season, not really consistent at all with shots on goal. I think he went way under majority of his games too, but nine of his last 10 he's hit, and five of his last six at home he's hit as well. I like that. I mean, he's just been on a roll as of late. It feels like he's finally getting over that hand injury that he's had for a while. I know he played a few games with it, but he had a brace on, and so it feels like he's fully comfortable again, which is great to see. Dylan Cousins also has a pretty solid history as of late. He's hitting three of his last four at home, and then six of his last eight overall. And then on the Vegas side, there's a few guys to look at as well. But I'll throw it to you, Franco. Any looks for you in this one?
Yeah, I wanted to start with Tuck. So, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Sabres games. I don't know. I mean,
he just scored
a decent amount. Oh, right now.
Yeah, he just scored about five minutes ago versus Tampa. Okay.
There you go. So maybe he's like priming up. But I feel like he has been kind of like more of the missing piece this year, right? Like,
yeah,
he was awesome last year, shots and, you know, scoring wise. And
yeah,
has anybody bet him this year?
No,
like,
no,
you know what I mean? Like, he's like, it's like he's falling off a cliff. It's like, I don't even know where the hell that guy's been.
His points never bettable. To begin with, like, his points never bettable, and he's not reliable to be at that number. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like you should look at his under, like that under half is going to be plus money.
Hasn't been productive.
No.
But I mean, this is the perfect get right spot, I guess. Right. I mean, he averages almost three shots a game versus them. Five total points in five games, it says, against them, three goals. So I don't know. I mean, maybe this is the spark. You know, he scores tonight. Maybe we get some value tomorrow or on Saturday. I'm going to be looking at it because I know I cashed it the last year when they played. So I probably don't have very much interest in Krebs. I don't even know how productive he's been, but as far as that revenge angle goes. But on the Vegas side, I still like that Barbashev has been pretty damn good still. Not as good, I guess, as he was during that run, but 6 points and five against them is pretty decent. I think the main thing here is the Eichel thing. If he's back, I mean, it doesn't really even need to be reset, but that, I think you just hammer everything if he's back and have fun and enjoy it, right?
Hopefully he's healthy. Yeah. Yeah,
depends. Enjoy it if you're a Vegas fan. Yeah. The other guy too that I want to look at on Vegas is Carlson. In terms of points, he's hitting five of his last five, seven of his last 10 on the road, and then even his shots on goal at 2.5, he's hitting six of his last seven, and then three of his last three on the road as well. He's really kind of emerged on that top line as well. Theodore Point feels like it's kind of back here, hitting four of his last four and then seven of his last 10 on the road as well. You get a pretty bettable number as well. And I think Buffalo struggles versus the D as well in terms of shots on goal. So those are kind of the looks I had in this one. Any other thoughts on the games for tomorrow?
And Saturday.
Or Saturday. Yeah, or Saturday as well.
I like that Theodore look. It's good having him back. That guy missing for that team was a pretty big loss. And he adds another element to that, to their offensive game.
Yeah. And then another game too to look at. Obviously, Columbus at Chicago just feels like just toilet bowl again. Bedard shots has been insane, so I think that's going to be kind of a hammer spot, depending on what number you can get it at in that one as well. That was kind of the only game that jumped out to me. All right, you guys want to shout out your
social? It seems like those games, like when it's bad teams like that, you get fireworks. So
yeah,
I mean, you might not want to bet that game on the surface when you're like scrolling through, but that might be a fun one when all said and done. You get to have like a 6-5 type of game where everything kind of hits. So that might be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, looking at their head-to-heads too, it's 7-3, 4-1, 5-2, 7-4. They're all high-scoring games. So could be a lot of props. I mean, that Columbus rushing line as well.
Yeah.
Their second line has been awesome. Phenomenal. So I would look to target them in that one as well. All right, you guys want to shout out your socials one last time?
Yeah, I'm Gretzky Batsky's on Twitter and part of the Parlay Science Discord.
And Franco the Banker on Twitter.
Awesome. As always, you can follow our podcast at Expected Bets 4 and myself at Gator Betting. We will have our three best bets and parlay. Maybe we'll do for Saturday.
Yeah.
I think we'll do it for Saturday. Let's do that. So yeah, we may have one or two best bets tomorrow, but parlay will be released for Saturday because I don't think anyone really wants to put together a parlay on that three-game slate. But we appreciate Evan for listening. This has been another episode of Expected Bets 4.